You know, I'm looking around like right now, and I'm a little bit discombobulated. I don't know if you are. I've gotten used to where you all sit normally, you know, and I'm looking over here, and there's certain people, and now some of you are switching spots, and I'm just a little bit, it's been a week, I'll tell you that. It's been a week, but we are so thankful to be in here. It's good. We're going to just kind of celebrate and things, but I want to tell a little bit of the story. Not just to this place. Like, we're excited to be in here. It's cool. The carpet looks nice. It smells new, right? It's nice. But this space is just a tool for ministry. See, in about 1885, there were some Swedish immigrant believers that were coming into this area in Martin County. In about 1885, as best we can tell, some of them started meeting together in Fairmont for Bible study, for prayer. 1885, you know, that's like 20 years after the Civil War, right? That's only 9 years after the United States, if I did my math right, 9 years after the United States celebrated its centennial, its initial 100 years. 9 years after that, these people started meeting in Fairmont, Minnesota, to study the Bible, to worship, to encourage one another. And they met, and they spoke in Swedish at that time. So they met, and in 1899, our church, what's called Bethel Free Church, was incorporated. At the time, it was called the Swedish Free Mission Church. The church building that they built, we're going to see a picture of it here. It still stands to this day. Now it's a house, I think. But you think of all that has transpired between 1885, 1889, or 1899, and today, being in here in this space. Those people back then had no idea we would be sitting here today. They had no idea this building would be here. They had no idea this property would be built on. They had no concept, no clue. And yet it is because of the faithfulness, the Christ-centeredness, the belief of those people throughout the years that we sit here this morning. And as we come into this space and we've finished this, well, it's not all the way finished. There's a few little touches that need to be finished up, but it's mostly done. Here's the question that I'm wondering about. Is, God, what do you want us to do? What do you have in front of us from 2023 moving forward? That's what I want to look with you at this morning. If you have your Bibles, you want to turn with me to the book of Psalms. We're going to be in Psalm 145. We're just going to look at four verses. I read the first three verses a second ago, but Psalm 145, verses 4 to 7 this morning. You don't have a Bible. We have Bibles. We haven't put them underneath the chairs yet. There's a few things. The chairs are going to get moved around, I think, a little bit this week because we're doing some more work in here to finish up. But there's going to be Bibles underneath of those chairs. If you don't have a Bible, though, and you'd like one, we have them out at the Welcome Center. We'd love to give you a Bible because we believe the Bible is the Word of God and that our Creator wants to speak to us through His Word. And so that's why we're going to open it up and look at it. That's why if you don't have one, we'd love to give you one. If you don't have a Bible reading plan, our associate pastor, Pastor Matt, he's put together a fabulous Bible reading plan. I saw that May is out, so you can grab that. But here's the text for the morning. And I think what we're going to see this morning is what God wants us to be doing in the general is the same thing that the people of God have been called to do throughout the years. Psalm 105. Or 145, verse 4. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. It's an interesting text. If you look at the superscription, it says it was written by David, which places it roughly around 1,000 years before Jesus came. We don't know exactly when he wrote this. What we're going to see here, I think, an answer to the question, what does God want for us to do going forward in 2023 and in the future that we don't know, just as those early settlers in 1885 and those people in 1899 and so on and so forth, they didn't know what was going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen in the future. The people of God in David's time, they didn't know. The people who preceded him, they didn't know. And yet it hasn't really changed. We're going to look at what that is. Then we're going to see in our text, how do we go about that? And it's going to, you know, why is this space, why is it maybe a strategic, important part of what God is calling us to do? And then I just want to spend a little bit of time thinking, what are some specifics? So here's the thing that we see, I think, in the text. We are called, we see this in the text, we are called to pass down the faith. This is the thing that people of God have been doing through the generations. They've been passing down the faith. If you look at verse 4, one generation, look at that, shall commend your works to another. You have one generation passing the faith down to another generation. It's this generational transfer. Now, we know that like passing the faith down isn't just one generation to another, but a generation inside itself. There's people who don't know Christ. We know that that is important as well. But what David is getting at is that there's this passing on, this declaration, generation to generation in this unbreaking, unending chain. And that's what we are called to do. It's fascinating because this is written 1,000, as I've already alluded to. If you go back 1,000 years before that, roughly, 2,000 years before Christ, that's about the time a man named Abraham lived. And in Genesis 12, God made a promise to Abraham, and he said, hey, I want you to leave everything that's familiar. We've talked about this. I want you to go where I'm going to show you. And then he said this. He said, I'm going to make you into a great nation. I'm going to do something that's not just about you, but it's going to be passed down from generation to generation. And we see David here in 1,000. He's saying the same thing. You fast forward 1,000 years to Jesus, and he's saying the same thing. You look at the lives of the apostles, and they're saying the same thing. You look at the people throughout history and time. It's been passing the faith person to person, generation to generation. And that has not changed, and it's not going to change. So what is the faith? Well, the faith is simple. David didn't know this. He didn't understand what this was. But it's that Christ died for our sins. He rose again from the dead. Jesus hadn't come when David was around yet. Very simple. And that if we just believe in him, we can be saved. It's the good news, what we call the gospel message. And we are called to just pass that down person to person to see God work in people's lives. And that's what we want to be about. What does it look like when we pass the faith down? When a person trusts Christ and begins to walk with him, what does that look like? Jesus was asked one time, he said, what was the greatest commandment? And he said, quoting out of Deuteronomy 6, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. It's the greatest commandment. That's why at Bethel, one of the things we say, Peter said it already, our mission is to love God. Why? Because that is a foundational, rock-solid part of the faith is loving God. It's the expression of what he has done for us. We love him. Then it goes on. Jesus says, and the second most important commandment is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Passing the faith means we teach people and we grow in loving God. We grow in loving our neighbor. You know, frankly, this is not that easy. Like, it's kind of easy some days to say, well, yeah, I love God. It's not that easy always to love our neighbor. Right? Because that's an actual person, and they can, like, actually annoy us, and they might rub us the wrong way, and they might do and say things that we don't like. And it's much closer, but this is part of what it means to be a follower of God, to be a follower of Jesus. Those are two of the things. The other thing that Jesus said right before he left, before he ascended, you guys know this, he said the Great Commission. All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. It's So the people of God, from time immemorial, have been loving God, have been called to love one another, and been called to pass down the faith. It's fascinating. The Great Commission, you put it alongside Psalm 145, verse 4. Pass the faith from person to person. And so that's where we come. This is our who we are as a church. It's one long run-on sentence, but I want to encapsulate who we are and why that connects to this. We are long-term, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that here in a sec. We're long-term, multi-generational. You look around in here. You got people from like 3 years old to 93 years old, maybe. I don't know. I haven't looked. And everybody in between. Long-term, multi-generational, evangelical-free. That has to do with the type of church that we are. Our geographical location, we're in southern Iowa, or not southern Iowa, sorry. Southern Minnesota, northern Iowa. That'd be a weird church. We're in northern Minnesota and southern Iowa. Nope. That'd be a little different, wouldn't it? On mission to love God, love others, and make disciples of Jesus so that God is glorified, our community is blessed, and people are transformed. That hasn't been like the words that they've always used here to express that, but it's the words we're using right now, and I think it gets at like the heart behind what people have been doing in our church and throughout the centuries. So I just want to take you on a little tour. This is the original building, built by those people in 1899. I know the picture's not great. I don't know. I couldn't do a lot with it. It's black and white. They didn't have cameras like we have. This building, I actually drove by it. It still exists today. I think it's a house up on the north side of town. Those first believers, they built this around 1899. They kept meeting together, studying together in Swedish, reaching out to their community. Even as you think of what happened between 1899 and 1951, you had two world wars. You had the Great Depression, you had the Roaring Twenties, you had so much. In 1938, Bethel started speaking English. In 1938, it was about 40 years before they stopped using Swedish primarily and they started using English. Just fascinating. So in 1951, they had outgrown that building. So what they do, they said, there's this church down south of town and they got an old building they don't need. And so they moved it into town. And they rolled that thing into town, and there's like newspaper articles, and it's up on the north side on 5th and Orient. It's now the Assemblies of God Church. They moved it up there. Why? Because they were reaching people for Christ. They were passing on the faith, and they needed more room to do so, to reach people in that context. By 1962, they were outgrowing that space. This is the congregation. I don't have a picture of the congregation in 1899. But here's a picture of the congregation, or some of it. During those years in the 50s. In 1962, they bought the property that we are on today, 1125 South State Street. And in 1968, they completed the first phase of the construction, which is the kind of go-between here and the Great Hall. That was the initial worship space. Where the bathrooms were, kind of like there, I think is where the pulpit and the choir loft were, and the pews were facing that way. And so you can see it there. Just fascinating. By the 80s, here's a picture of them. It's a little bit wider, you know. I can't really zoom in, but you get the scope. Maybe some of you were here. Some of you were here. I think I saw Fred come in this morning. Fred might have been here. Maybe some of other people have been here for a long, long time. Just fascinating. In the 80s, they were outgrowing that space. They'd grown 15% in like 2 or 3 years, the early 80s. And so they built this space that we're in, the worship center here, in 1983. Why? Because they wanted to continue to pass on the faith. They wanted to continue to focus on their mission. So that's 83. You could just look at the picture. I mean, there's a few of you. Maybe there's a few sport coats in here today, but for the most part, not a lot of sport coats, right? You see a lot more jeans, a lot more untucked shirts, and that's fine, you know. Like, but it just shows the change that has come. In the 90s, they needed more classroom space for children and for classes, so they added on the Great Hall. We're so thankful they did, right? Because for the last 6 months, we've met in the Great Hall on those amazing wooden or metal folding chairs. You guys are missing those today, aren't you? Are you missing those? Chip is missing the folding chair? No. But they did that so that we could have space, so that people could meet, so that the faith could be passed generation to generation. And so we're in this space today, where we are, for the same reason. The world has changed, needs have changed, ministry has changed, culture has changed. And our hope is that this space is going to continue to allow us to accomplish that mission. So we're called to pass down the faith generation to generation. How do we do that? By telling what God has done. If you look in the text, this is what the text is about. By telling what God has done. He says, on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. Really two parts of this. God's character and then his actions, which flow out of his character. The glorious splendor of his majesty. And that's one of the things we want to use this space for, is to declare his character. His character is rooted in the gospel. The gospel is part of his wondrous works towards us. There's other things. There's creation. There's lots of things. But the gospel is one of the main things, and that's what we want to see passed down person to person. We're going to, in this space, it says, on your wondrous works I will meditate. We're going to use this space to do that. Once a month, we participate in something called communion. Why? Because it's a reminder of what Christ did for us on the cross. It's almost a reenactment of his suffering for ourselves and our minds. It's a remembrance. Why? Because it's the central fact of our faith. We're going to meditate on that. We are working on a baptismal. It's going to go right here. We're going to move like this first row of chairs out. It's going to go right front and center right there. Why? Because we want to have that in our service. Why? Because that's part of what God is doing. It's part of his wondrous works to hear the testimonies of what people have been transformed and changed from. On Sundays, the scriptures are central to us. We open the Bible. Every week we say, hey, if you don't have a Bible, get a Bible, read the Bible. We open the Bible. We study the Bible. We try to apply the Bible to our life. Why? Because we believe that that is the way that God changes us. And we're going to continue to do that here in this space. We're going to, as he goes, he says, they shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds. I will declare your greatness. He says, verse 7, they shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness. That's why we tell stories about what God has done in our lives. We have testimonies in gathering at other times, telling about what God has done. Why? So that we can pass the faith on person to person, generation to generation, for years and years and years to come. It's a really interesting time to be alive and to be here at Bethel. You know, we had a phenomenal Easter. We were hoping that we could be in this space on Easter. Wouldn't that would have been cool. But we were in the Great Hall on Easter, and because we were in the Great Hall, we thought, well, we need three services. And as we, you know, they take attendance, they go and they count you people and see how many people there are. And that's always fun and exciting. You know what we found? I preached three times on Sunday, but we had four services. Figure that one out. Because we had about, in rough numbers, 25%, 25%, 25% at our three services. And then we had 25%. More people participated with us online. If you look at our Good Friday service, and a lot of this stuff is built so that we can have quality video, the sound, all of that stuff, so that we can reach out to people online. If you look at the online numbers for Good Friday, we had a great turnout, approaching 300 people, but that was about 60% of the people who participated on Good Friday. Almost 40% participated in an online format. Because the world has changed, but our mission hasn't. Our mission hasn't changed. And so we want to continue to do this. We want to sing of his righteousness and tell his story, and we're going to use this space for that. I get excited about this. This is one of the things I want to share with you. It's not the biggest thing in the world, but it's just kind of this really amazing thing that God has done. When we started the project, you know, we had a number in mind, and we said that's going to be 102% of the annual budget, the number that we were looking at spending. We were looking, because of the amount of money we had in the bank, it was going to be about 52% of our annual budget that we would potentially have to take out. We're like, whoa, that's a lot. When we did the numbers on the interest rates at that time, it was going to be about 4.7%. So as we came and we talked and we worked through the process, when we finally approved the project, where everything like sorted out, is going to be about 114% of the annual budget was the project. The loan, because you had pledged and given, was going to be about 30% of the annual budget. And the mortgage payment on that loan was going to be about 3.86%. It's like, oh, well, that's doable. The elders, we felt we wanted to see that number under 4 to really move forward. But today, here's where we are. The number hasn't changed. Now, we haven't paid all the bills yet. I don't know if that number is going to stay where it's going to be, that 114%. It's going to be close. But the amount of money we're looking at taking out is come down by about half. Because you, our church family, has given so generously towards this project. And so the amount of money we're going to have to take out is just, it's shrinking every week. We haven't taken any money out yet. One of our elders, I think he's a little crazy, but he tells me all the time, he's like, we're not going to have to take out any money. I'm like, I don't know. You have more faith than me. I'm certainly know that God could do it. But that's just one of the things, one of the many things. I was sitting at a thing last week, and I heard a story of somebody who listened to a sermon. They listened to a sermon from our church, and they listened online because they couldn't make it to church that week, and they had just this tremendous experience of God's grace. And I don't know if they got saved in that moment, but it was transformational for them. Last week, I don't know if you were here, but we had a crazy thing. We had a snowstorm happen. You remember that? Minnesota Adult Challenge, Teen Challenge couldn't come. So I got a call, 6 o'clock Saturday. It's like, hey, you got something to preach? It's like, I'll figure it out. So we figured it out. And I got an email this week from this sweet person in our congregation. They've been wrestling with being baptized. They're like, felt like called to be baptized. And they emailed me and said, after the sermon on Sunday, which I was like, well, wasn't that great, you know, thrown together. God spoke to my heart, and I want to be baptized. So they got baptized this week with their, like, Bible study in a little community. It's exciting what God is doing. So here's I think, the thing for us. Here's the question. If we're answering, what does God want us to do in 2023 and going forward? He wants us to continue to pass down the faith, just as we have as a church. Just as we have as a church. What does that entail? Well, there's a few things, you know, we could think about. People through the ages, they've been faithful in prayer. I think this means we need to continue to be faithful in prayer. We need to pray, God, would you touch people in our community? Would you give us opportunities to share Christ? Would you open up doors so that we can have boldness to have conversations with our coworkers and with our friends and with our family members? We need to do that. We have a thing coming up in a week and a half, the National Day of Prayer. We're gonna do a 24-hour prayer vigil. It's already online. You can register in 15-minute increments. Get there fast, or otherwise you're going to have the 2:30 a.m. slot. Okay, but we're going to go midnight to midnight. But that's just one opportunity coming up in the next couple weeks. It's May the 4th. We're going to be called to step out of our comfort zones. You know, there's a little metaphor. Now we're sitting in really comfortable chairs, right? These are pretty good. Before we were, you could say, out of our comfort zones on those hard metal chairs. But I think God might be calling us to step out of our actual comfort zones to share Christ with people who don't know. And lastly, I'd just encourage you and challenge you to ask this question and pray this question with me, with our elders. God, what do you want us as a church to do? Who do you want us to reach? How do we do that from 2023 going forward? Because I don't know the future. But wouldn't it be cool if in 100 years they're putting pictures from this morning up and they show and they say, yeah, in 2023, 2022, 2023, they redid the worship center and they updated some things. And because of the faith and the faithfulness of those people, these people came to Christ, and this person came to Christ, and that person received the faith, and this person came to Christ. I think we have no idea the potential that God wants to do in and through us as a church. So, Father, we just thank you. We thank you that you are a God. You have been on mission, pursuing people from the beginning. Lord, you love people. You sent your son to die on the cross for people. You have a plan and a purpose for every person. Lord, you long to see them come to know your son, come to know you through your son, through the gospel message. Lord, you long for them to be transformed, or to love you as we are created to do. And Lord, would you help us to know individually and as a church what you have for us? Lord, what things you would have us to do? Lord, how you would have us to do them? What you want us to focus on so that we can continue in this mission that you have given us? Lord, so that in our area we would continue to shine brightly the light that we have. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this place. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning we want to just take a little bit of time and recognize some people and thank some people. And so the way we're going to do this is in two shifts. So we have like our contractors and people who've been working on the. There we go. We want to say thank you to this. And I'm going to run through the folks and kind of talk a little bit about what these people have done. So I've got the list up here. We have Station 19. And as I read, if you're here, we invited them to come. I don't know how many came, but if you're here, if you would stand up as a representative of your company or your firm, if you're here with us, and then we'll just hold our applause all till the end, okay? And then we'll clap for them. So Station 19, they have been our architect. There's right down here. That have been working with us. They designed this concept with our team. So all of this that you're looking at is due to their creativity and their effort and their work. So we're so thankful. APX, these guys back here, they've been our general contractor, and they have been awesome to work with. They've been here tirelessly. Jeff, who's on the right side there, he's been like the on-the-ground guy, and Dustin has been the project manager, but they have been great to work with. Jeff has been, I'm going to miss our little coffee chats, Jeff. I'd run in here on Mondays to get pictures so I could send them out and chat with Jeff. Vincent, Audiologic, I don't know if they're still here, but they tune the audio system, and they were here all week last week with us. Vincent Lighting, Steve is here. And Steve has been like tirelessly working on the lights. There's a little bit more to do on the lights and the control system, but we are just so thankful for all that you guys have done and are doing. So thank you, Steve, for being here. Master Electric, I don't know if we have anybody from Master DeWar in town. They did so much work. Those vans have been here all the time. So they did a lot of stuff there. Twin Town Demolition, these guys were only here with us for like 3 or 4 days. They tore everything down, got it all out right at the beginning. I don't think anybody from there is here. Sonus Interiors, they're doing the lights or the shades on the windows. Reichel Insulation, these guys were here. I mean, it's been really amazing. You know, it's like the project has gone in spurts from my perspective. It's like a lot happens, and then it's like a lot of waiting. And when they started to put the insulation back in, I was like, my goodness, this is flying. They just flew. They did a great job. Rickway Carpet, same. These guys did the carpet in here. And one day I came in and took a picture like at 10 a.m., and I came back at 2 to show somebody, and like a third of the carpet was already laid. I mean, this guy was just going to town. Just amazing. South Central Painting, this is one guy. He painted all of this. You know, it took him some time, but he did all the painting. Hirsch Ironworks, I think they did the iron fab for us, probably. They the stage of steel. We got steel that had to go up to support some things. Spartan Steel Erectors, they came and actually put the stuff in. Kendall Doors Hardware, they worked on hardware in the place. Builders First Source, I really don't know what they did. I'm sorry. I was looking for Deb before this because I was going to ask her a question. I didn't know that one. Seven Systems, they put up a lot of the drywall. They did a lot of the actual building. Day Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling did a bunch of stuff. We have, we're plumbed for a baptistry and with our air stuff. They did that. So thank you guys. Kingdom Builders. I don't know if Kingdom Builders is in the house, but we have a couple guys who worked, did some concrete work for us with them, some guys who attend here. So, hey, James, there we go. And then Cabinet Renew, they did the woodwork that you look at, all the trim and all the nice woodwork they did. So I'd just like to take some time and just appreciate them for all that they've done. Would you thank them with me? So the second phase is of our volunteers. So we had a lot of people, and I just say this, I know this whole project has put a lot of stress on our whole church. It's been a lot of extra work in a lot of different ways. And so if we don't say thank you to you this morning in particular, don't feel left out. It's not because you are not important. We very well could have missed some people. But we want to thank the Worship Renewal team. If you guys want to stand up, this is a team that's been thinking about this and working on this for a while. So they are the ones who came up with the concept and the plan and put it all together. They probably have more hours in this than anybody. So thank you, guys. Thank you for that. Our general contractor selection team, if you would like to stand up. Once we approved the project, we had to select a general contractor, and these folks... Come on. Come on. These guys, they vetted contractors. They asked a lot of questions, and they just did a great job for us. So it helped us land on Apex. Our finance team, these guys, if there's anybody in the house who worked with our finances, they really helped make sure we were in a good place with our loan. They've managed things really well. Our tech teams, we can't say enough about our tech teams. We were out of this space. We thought initially it would be 3 months. It turned into 6 months because that's the way construction projects go. But these guys have been amazing. I don't know if you know, but they come in probably 6 a.m., 6-ish, 6:30 every Sunday so they could get things set up in the Great Hall week after week after week. So we can't thank them enough. Our chair setup team, this was near and dear to my heart because my family, we'd come and my girls, we'd run around and we'd set up chairs in about 15 minutes. So anybody here on the chair setup team? Nobody? They're all second service folks, I guess, huh? All right. Those who hauled in chairs from storage, if you were helping on Sunday, if you would like to stand, or on Monday, if you would like to stand, I know there's some of you who helped. There's some. All right. I see some people in the back. They're a little bashful. All right. And those who set up the new chairs. And that just anybody who helped set up the new chairs the other day? It's mainly our worship team, I think. Carly was here? It was Carly. This is Carly. Oh, and Ashley. Yeah. Thank you, guys. Let's clap for them. So... And lastly, just want to thank all of you. Like, this has not been easy. We know sitting on those hard metal chairs was not comfortable. It was kind of weird. But you know what? You all had a great attitude, a good spirit. We were just really blown away with the kindness and the perseverance and the graciousness of our church. So thank you for that. Thank you to you.